Let us then confess our sins to God our Father, most merciful God. We confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not has his authority, I never forgive you all your sins in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise and share the peace with each other. From the lectern side, peace, Lord, be with you always. And from the pulpit side, the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
for this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Christ is risen from the dead.
God the Father is crowned with the glory of God.
He has given him dominion over the works of his hands.
He has over all things under his feet. Likewise, this Easter season in our three-year lectionary rotation, our epistle readings will all come from the first of three letters of John the Apostle. And Gnosticism was disrupting early Christianity, and then a principle concept of dualism could be maintained with a lofty mental pietism and at the same time a sensual bodily lifestyle. But we hear today that in God's message through John that Jesus is the true deity of God in flesh, the light that stands for God's realm of truth, and that our genuine knowledge of God must result in a moral transformation. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us rise out of respect for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold the sins from forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Be seated while we go to the children's message.
Spirit,
and always keep us believers.
Keep us calm and patient as we move through this world and wait for your return.
He is risen.
He is risen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text for this afternoon is our gospel text, where we hear Jesus greet his disciples two different times with the doors being locked. First time on the evening of that day, and the second time 8 days later. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." So far, our text, will you please pray with me and especially for me. Gracious Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather at this time, we ask that you would continue to shower upon us the peace that comes to us only from you and your risen Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus, the risen Christ. Greetings are taken for granted in today's society. We think of them as just a way to get a conversation started. "Hey, you're looking good. Back at ya. How you doing?" "Fine." "What you up to?" "Nothing much." We more or less go through this greeting ritual on autopilot. Most of the time, our greetings are just polite exchange of conversation. Sometimes these greetings actually lead to real conversation. Other times, not so much. Rather, they're merely a polite acknowledgement of the other person's presence. Today's gospel has a greeting in it. This greeting is not trivial. It is not a tired and old cliche. It is a great gospel greeting, full of grace and comfort. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." The disciples were hiding behind locked doors. They were lost, confused, and above all, they were really, really terrified. They had seen the ruling authorities reach out and take their leader from them and kill him on a cross. Now, they thought perhaps it was their turn. They expected the authorities to come and arrest them next. They were trying to keep a low profile and hope that the events of this past weekend would all blow over. Now, in all fairness, there were a few in the group who really did know different. There were the women who had been to the tomb that dawn that morning. They had talked to the angel. Some of them had talked to the risen Lord. Others had even talked to Jesus himself. Nevertheless, their words seemed to fall on deaf ears. Most of the disciples in that room thought the stories of the resurrection to be silly. Suddenly, there was this wonderful greeting, "Peace be with you." There's nothing other than the peace of God, a peace that no one deserves. Here is peace that means sins are forgiven. Here is a peace that means our relationship with God is whole once again. Here is a peace that means that all the sins that we have ever done are simply set aside. And there are plenty of sins. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, all the disciples, they promised their lives, their honor to their master, Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, when the temple guard came to arrest Jesus, they all fled. They scattered. On a personal note, Peter denied Jesus 3 times during Jesus' trial. Throughout that first Easter, witnesses have tried to tell them that Jesus was alive. Luke 24 says, "But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them." Then were the things that happened before Easter weekend. The disciples, you know, they often argued over who was the greatest. The disciples, they prevented children from coming to Jesus. The disciples sinned often. All these things are forgotten as Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus showed them the marks of the struggle that had earned that peace. He showed them his hands and his side. Here were the marks that remind us all of the work that Jesus did. the nails of the cross, the spear that pierced his heart. Here, written on his body, is a story of the suffering and death that earned salvation. But salvation is also for you and me. We, like all humanity, like the disciples, we sin. There have been times that we have been ashamed of our Savior. We've wanted to fit in, so we denied that we knew Jesus. We've all made promises that we haven't kept, promises to God. Like the disciples, we often focus on ourselves instead of God. We know that our sin has earned the eternal wrath of God. Nevertheless, Jesus comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." The wounds of his hands and his side, they tell us that he has made all things right. Everything is new again, and we have a new, healthy relationship with our God. The peace that Jesus offers is not only for our relationship with God, but also for our relationship with others. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Just as God breathed the breath of life into Adam and gave life to all of mankind, so also Jesus breathed on his disciples and brought life to his church. As Jesus breathed life into his church, he gave the church a commission. He gave his peace, his forgiveness to the church. The mouth of the church is the mouth of Jesus Christ, and that mouth gives peace and forgiveness. In public, Christ's words of peace and forgiveness come from the mouth of the pastor. As Martin Luther said in his explanation of confession, we receive absolution, that is, forgiveness, from the pastor as from God himself, not doubting, but firmly believing that by our sins, or by it, our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. Those are words from Martin Luther. Now, the pastor himself, he can be inexperienced. He can become incompetent. He can be someone we really don't even like. But when he says, "I forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," you can be absolutely certain that he is bringing the words of Christ to you. The sins of all who confess and believe in Jesus Christ are indeed forgiven, just as certainly as if Jesus Christ himself stood here and forgave you your sins. Therefore, the Holy Christian Church is a beautiful and a glorious being. In her, we hear that what God speaks and what God desires. We hear about repentance. We hear about forgiveness, baptism, faith in Jesus Christ. Whoever touches a believer touches the apple of God's eye. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ shall be the dwelling place and the temple of God. Now, how sad it is that Thomas missed out on this. How sad it is when anyone misses out on hearing those words of peace. That's because the world is not polite and it constantly pummeled us with Satan's lies. We are helpless before those lies without Christ's word of peace. It's a terrible thing when people do not hear the word of God. They miss out on the peace of God. How merciful it is that Jesus Christ gives us that peace again and again and again. The second time Jesus brought his peace, Thomas was there. Thomas had been hard-hearted. "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails, place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Jesus did not say to him, "You foolish man, why didn't you believe when your friends told you the truth?" Instead, Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands, and put out your hand and place it at my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Christ brought his peace to Thomas patiently and faithfully. He brushed aside Thomas's stubbornness. He offered the marks of his love for Thomas to inspect. He offered the marks that showed that sin is forgiven and we have that peace with God. You know, it's easy to pick on Thomas. He'll forever be known as Doubting Thomas. In truth, all the disciples doubted until they saw the Lord. Thomas's only disadvantage was that for some reason he was missing the first time when Jesus appeared. So he was really no different than the others. The real lesson here is how Jesus continues to bring his greetings of peace. Jesus is patient, merciful, and totally trustworthy. He continued to offer his peace to Thomas, and he gave that peace to his church. Now he offers that peace through his church to us, to you and to me. That peace is the peace that he earned for us with his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his resurrection. It is the peace of forgiveness, life, and salvation. It is the peace of God which passes all human understanding. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. Please join in confessing our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I would ask that you would rise.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Don Elrod, who was in hospice, Mike Miller, son of Dolores Bowman, who was recovering from an infection, Eileen Fitzenreiter, LCMS Foundation, who was in terminal cancer, Captain Dare, who had been hospitalized, Chuck Jones, recovering from heart surgery, Cora Morgan, who was recovering from surgery, Judy Brown, friend of Bruce Selmayr, who recovered from open heart surgery, Becky Crosby, who was triple cancer, Jenny Getz, a friend of Kim Freeman, who had terminal cancer, Flo Harmon, was having a surgery, family of Alan Hall, brother of Alan Shaw, passed away this past week, Terry Ferris, sister-in-law, Martha Reitinger, who had a serious stroke, family of Dolores Pelter, mother of Pat Pelter, who passed away this week, Jeff Snell, son of Alan Valetta Snell, who was in the hospital with brain bleeding. Kayla Miller, granddaughter of Dolores Bowman, who broke her hand. And Cody Snell, the grandson of Alan Valetta Snell, who was recovering from hernia surgery. And Glenn Clevenger, who is going to have open heart surgery this Wednesday. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, by the resurrection of your Son, you adopt all who believe in him. Receive us as your newborn children and nourish our faith by this pure spiritual milk of your word, that we may dwell in your presence forever. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, you have declared peace between man God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Receive our thanks for the authority given to your church on earth, and grant the ministers of your church in faith to carry out their office and pronounce the free forgiveness of sins upon all repentant sinners. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, people are united in the common life and love our Savior, grant that we would share that life and love with those who need. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your peace flows from the risen and glorified wounds of Christ through your church and into the lives of all your faithful people. Bless and direct Christian parents, that your forgiveness would be freely shared in your home, and that each family would live together in your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you appoint rulers and officials for the sake of order and peace. Bless those who have placed authority over us in federal, state, and local governments. Give to them the desire to serve with integrity and honor and to work for the benefit of all. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we pray for your Son's resurrection from his dead and draw strength for his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Especially we pray for Carolyn, Don, Mike, Eileen, Catherine, Chuck, Cora, Judy, Becky, Jenny, Flo, family of Ellen Hall, Karen, family of Dolores Belzer, Jeff, Caitlin, Cody, and Glenn. Graciously receive our prayers and intercession and hear them for his sake. Lord, your mercy. Gracious Lord, word of life has been flesh, suffered death, and has risen in victory. Give us his body and blood and his bread and wine, that we may have the forgiveness of sin and fellowship with you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that out of your incredible and indescribable grace and for the sake of your Son, you have given us the Holy Gospel and instituted the Holy Sacraments, that through them we may have comfort and the forgiveness of sin. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may heartily believe your word, and through the Holy Sacraments establish your faith day by day, until at last we obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
especially as we bow to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. By his rising, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all witnesses of the resurrection, with angels, with archangels, with all the company of heaven, and laud and magnify your glorious name for praising you and saying, everlasting. Your sins are forgiven. Depart in peace and in Easter joy. Amen. Lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.